Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to VMB, the voice of Manhattan business, brought to you by the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Bruce Hurwitz, one of the Chamber's ambassadors. Before we get to today's guest, I just want to remind everyone to visit the events page on the Chamber's website, www.manhattancc.org, to learn about upcoming events on the Chamber's calendar. I am delighted to begin the new year by being joined today by Alan Siege from Small Business Management Consulting. We will be discussing what a strong brand. You have to have a powerful story. Please remember the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 805-243-1301. That number again, 805-243-1301. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bruce. Nice to be here. I was looking forward to this for quite a while because we have sort of you and I have a kind of a thing about storytelling as it relates to the sales process, as it relates to being a good brand. So this should be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. Before we get to the crux of the matter, tell us about yourself and your company.
Well, I thought I'd give you kind of a little background on me. I've lived in New York all my life, but I actually started out on Long Island. I now live in lovely Park Slope, and I have married, and I have three kids. There are twins who are just turned 12, and a 17-year-old that's about to go to college. In terms of my business, I opened a business in 1996. Before that, I had been a full-time fundraiser, and I decided I wanted to do that on my own. So I became a consultant to various nonprofits. And after a while, I decided I'd like to work with small businesses. It just seemed interesting to me. So I went and got myself an MBA, focusing on entrepreneurship, and I've kind of been on my way. I should also say that along with my own business, I am an instructor. I teach business courses at CUNY, SUNY, and NYU. Now, Bruce, would you like me to – I would like to talk a little bit about how my company works. Is this the right time to do that?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Well, Small Business Management Consulting. There's a little bit of an emphasis on small, and what I mean by that are sole proprietors, partnerships. They've been in business for a few years, and they make money, but the issue for them and what I really do is help them get to the next level. You know, they're proud. I mean, they've been in business. You know, they make that money. They have some loyal customers. But no matter what they do, they can't seem to find new ones, and they can't get to that level. Well, the reason I think that they're stuck is because their customers need a story that they understand, a story that says you understand them, and that's where I come in. That's exactly what I do. A lot of customers, they really don't want to know how you do what you do. They just want to know how it will help them. They want a good story. So,
well,
I help you tell a story so people trust you, listen to you, and buy from you. That's what I do.
Well said.
I help
well
you tell
said.
Your business better. Mm-hmm.
Now let's get to our topic, which is want a strong brand, you have to have a powerful story. So to begin with, what is a brand, and what does it have to accomplish?
Well, the most simple word that I have always used is the word promise. The word promise. And because I say the word promise, because for most of us, when you say you make a promise about something, you really mean and you better do it. But for me, in terms of business, what it says is it's a promise that your business has specific benefits and specific values. It has to be meaningful and relevant to the user, and it has to be different from the competition. The other thing that I think people have to understand is that brand is the sum of every single thing that you do. It doesn't matter what way you present yourself. All of the ways you do that reveal who you are and what you stand for. The other thing I like to share with is some ways, shorthand ways of thinking about a brand. It can be a gut feeling that current customers or prospects actually feel about you. A brand can be just a shorthand way to think of what you do. One of the ones I love, I say sometimes a promise is wrapped up in an experience. But what I also want to say is what a brand is not, because I feel like that sometimes throws people off, and it really doesn't help the business owner better present himself. So, a brand is not a logo, and a brand is not a product. Here's a great line. I can't take credit for it. Products are created in a factory. Brands are created in the mind. And a logo is just a point of entry into a brand. It's really, like I said, the sum of everything. It's the promise, the reputation. It's just customer service, the logo, price, promotion, the product line. The one thing that I want to also say is a brand is the sum of every single thing you do. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly of your business.
There's a, I don't know what the word, let's say call it a common wisdom that I've always accepted, but recently, and I don't remember who it was, but I was reading an article where the person disagreed with this. The common wisdom seems to be that your customers or your clients determine your brand. You might come up with the tagline.
That's right.
That you want to be your brand, but it's your customers who decide what your brand really is. Either you're good or you're lousy.
I totally agree with that. And the reason I agree with that is because once that feeling is out there, once that presentation of what you do or produce is out there, then the value it has for people is not determined by you. They either use it because they get something out of it, you know, makes their life easier, makes them look prettier, makes them do something, you know, that they want to get done. And you have to have something that really makes that happen, makes them feel that when they use it, you know, they get something out of it. And I will just say that a story, which maybe we'll jump into, is one of the ways that you can actually get to that place.
Now, how do you achieve a great brand?
Well, you know, great brands, for one thing, are consistent in their promise. They really, really do what they say they're going to do, and they do it for quite a while. But a great brand knows exactly what it does well. They do not try to do 10,000 things. They usually have at least one thing that they do better than anyone else. That value that you have, that feeling, great brands do it all the time. It doesn't matter how you encounter them, what the touch point is, every single way that you bump up against that brand, it says the same message. And that message has to be consistently something of value. If you think about any of the big brands, what has made them work is exactly that. And when they mess up, it can really, really be devastating. Many of us know about Toyota. It's a very well-known brand. It has had a great reputation for safety. And all of a sudden, when it became obvious or people started to learn about their braking problems and that they really hadn't done a whole lot to take care of it, all of a sudden, that perception really, really changed. And people started wondering, you know, is Toyota a really safe brand? Or do they really have my interest in at heart? And
that's a great example, because and when I teach this, when I was teaching on entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm.
I juxtaposed Johnson & Johnson with their Tylenol crisis, which they handled perfectly. That's the gold standard. Everybody knows it. Everybody uses it. And Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the truth of the matter was that there was no problem with Toyota's braking system. They got it right. There was no problem. The problem was with the drivers, something that they were doing. And the NTSB came out a year later after they had finished their investigation and said,
mm-hmm.
and this is documented, that Toyota did nothing wrong. There was no problem with the car. But the way they handled it was terrible. They didn't have what I call their Tylenol moment. And that's what impacted their brand. It was impression,
not reality.
Yeah,
I think what you're really saying is you have to own it. Own the positive and own the negative. I mean, people know that things happen. You know, sometimes production lines don't work exactly as they're supposed to work. And, you know, if you can address it up front and, you know, basically explain why this happened, and you can apologize for what didn't work. Most people are pretty good-natured about it. I mean, you know, the thing with, well, you know, with the lovely GM story and the ignition switches, I mean, you talk about not doing something well, that was horrible. I mean, from everything that we know, they didn't let people... They were not letting people be aware of what happened until they were forced to.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, if you're a much smaller business, it doesn't have to be any of the giants. To be great, again, it's delivering consistent value to whoever is your market, whatever target market you're going to. That's what great brands do.
Now, what's the importance of a story in the sales process?
Well, let me just say this, that to me, the sales process, I use the metaphor of a baseball game, and you'll see why I do that. When you are presenting yourself with something of value, the first thing you start with is a description of it. And so imagine if you're on home plate, home base, and there you are. You know what you stand for. You have a clear sense of your brand. You have a clear sense of the benefit. You have a pretty good idea in your own mind about who would benefit. And so you start out with a good chunk of material. To get to the first base, however, you have to find a way to reach people. And reaching people can be done in a variety of ways, including the use of a story. But the real point of the baseball is that when you're on first and you're talking to someone, you have to get them to want to get involved in the sales process. People really don't buy unless they are integrated into it. They feel connected to it. And so a story can be used to go from first to second base big time, because at that point, you, the seller, are going to use a story that will reveal to the prospect that, this guy or girl does something that sounds like helping somebody like me. It reveals the value because the story suggests that there's an initial beginning of some need or desire, and it is satisfied, you know, by the product or service. And that exchange really can trigger a buyer's willingness to buy something because they see themselves in it, and then they want to know how it will help me. And once you've gotten to that point, you are in a very strong position to sell because they've already incorporated or really agree with the value that you say it is. I will just say that the other thing that it does, and this can be used sort of a story in a slightly other way, is, you know, rather than telling a buyer all the things that make you valuable, and you believe them, but that doesn't necessarily translate into something that is of interest to them. So a story simply can make you seem more authentic, more real. And that is one of the things a story probably does best.
Now, what makes a story effective or impactful?
Well, again, I mean, to some degree, I would repeat a little of what I said, because what makes it real, again, what makes it effective or impactful is it creates a situation where, again, the listener really identifies with what is being said as to what that product or service what can do. Again, a good, effective story has protagonists, just like any story that you've ever heard. You know, somebody that has a certain outlook on the world, certain values, right? That person has some thing that that's missing in their life, and that can be described as an obstacle that they have. And then in the end, the listener is actually the winner, or he or she is victorious over the obstacle because of what you offer them. So the idea is a story really is a story. You know, it's with real people struggling or desiring, not knowing where to find the thing that, you know, may deliver that. And then, you know, boom, there you are. And then, wow, you know, you didn't make the customer feel better necessarily. They feel better on their own. So a good story, an impactful one, has to achieve that.
Just a reminder, you're listening to the Voice of Manhattan Business. I'm speaking with Alan Siege from Small Business Management Consulting. Our topic is, want a strong brand? You have to have a powerful story. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 805-243-1301. And please remember, the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. Alan, what does it take to be an effective storyteller?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to say before is that you actually have to have several stories in your little kit bag, because different people respond to, you know, different needs that your product may be able to solve. So one of the things you have to have, and this is something that I want to talk about a little later, is to be able to talk about your business in an authentic way, but that is revealed through slightly different stories, all of whom end up with the user being, again, victorious. But you might emphasize different pieces of what your business is about. I will say one of the biggest things is when you're a storyteller, you really have to start out by being a good listener. The idea is you don't jump in to a situation and start telling stories until the client, the prospect, really hears you. You know, they are telling you something that is somewhat personal. And if you're too quick and you say, I get you, it sounds a little bit like you're trying to sell them. And you really, really don't want to do that. The idea here, and I think, you know, I said it before, and it really, to me, is one of the biggest things, is that anything people buy, somewhere along the lines, they have to say, that really sounds like me. And so that's pretty much what you must be able to do. And again, you know, having slightly different stories. But I think what makes someone effective is that they can quickly identify what the challenge is the prospect has and tailor a story or have a story in your head that really makes that where the lead character is a very, very similar position, place, worldview than they are.
I think that your comment, which I agree with 1,000% about the importance of listening, answers my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. How do you know what story to avoid?
Well, any story that talks more about you than them. People really don't want to know that stuff. People only want to hear the benefits of what you do. Your process is how you do something. And there's this famous little adage that I'm sure you've heard of, Bruce, but I'll say it for the listeners. Features tell, benefits sell. And so the story to avoid is anyone where you, the brand owner, are the winner, because that's not going to generate. Simply that you made a sale doesn't necessarily mean that that person is going to make a sale. That person is going to buy from you. So I suppose the simplest way to define a story, define what makes a story bad, is it's kind of more of a monologue than a dialogue.
You know, it's funny. Everything you're saying is so relevant, but not just for business owners. When I'm working with career counseling clients, and they come in and say, I've been trying for, God knows, sometimes months, a few cases, years. They haven't been able to get a job. And within a very short period of time, it turns out they've been focused on themselves and not on the employers. Once they stop doing
I'm a big public radio fan, and there was a show, I believe it was with Brian Lehrer. And the guest was a person who does professional, sort of counseling, if you will, to job hunters. And the first thing that she said you should never do is start out by saying, this is what I'm looking for. That little paragraph that some people put at the top of their resume.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, in all seriousness, the question that's got to come to the reader's mind is, who cares? Right?
Yeah.
Who cares? You really, I think people are getting it more now than they used to, because you have all these people, who are entrepreneurs, and they are, actually answering the question, what is a value, but what can be a value based on what they're doing. But again, for almost all situations, and you can get into this in a funny sort of way, but it can actually relate to personal relationships and business relationships, because frankly, people, connect to people who see them for real, see them for what they are, and
yep.
That would apply to businesses as well,
I want to ask you a question that's a little bit left field because of something you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I will get about that paragraph, that blurb of self-praise.
Yep.
Where people talk about themselves.
Yep.
I get that all the time on resumes.
Oh.
Somebody, I'll say to them, when you go to a networking event, how do you introduce yourself? And they'll say, hi, I'm Alan. I'm a professional business consultant and storyteller. Great answer. That's fine. It opens up this curiosity. That's okay. And then I'll say to them, but I don't understand something. On your resume, it begins, I am a highly accomplished professional business consultant and storyteller. Why don't you introduce yourself that way when you meet someone in person. And they always say, well, you know, it just doesn't sound good. So then I look at them and say, so why do you think it sounds good in writing? And then they say, and this leads me to my question for you, they'll say, well, the quote-unquote professional resume writer who I hired and paid a lot of money to prepare the resume said it should begin with a descriptive paragraph of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they follow the coach or the consultant because they have all this power, and they'll even do things that in their gut they know they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
How do you control as a client? How would you recommend to somebody who's going out looking for a business consultant to make sure that they stay in charge and they're comfortable with what they are being told to do?
Well, you know, one of the things that I always know to be true when people hire me is, you know, there is a certain amount of intimacy here. You know, you are sharing some pretty personal things about who you are, you know, as it relates to business, your business. So you really want to see somebody that you trust, somebody that you're literally comfortable with and talking to. But as far as, you know, what the value is, I mean, again, what I sometimes do, and well, pretty much always, I guess, actually, is I ask them, you know, what is it that you want a consultant to do? What problem do you want to be addressed? You know, what would you like to see happen? So that they know right up front that we're going to work on this thing, this issue, that they have articulated, you know, they want to do something about. Anybody who's good at this, as a coach, I would say, knows that, you know, the only way they'll get a good referral, the only way they'll really produce something, is they do something that the person wants. And you have to ask. You have to be, you know, upfront about that. You may add more value as you, you know, go forward, but you really have to address the thing that they want and be very clear about it.
Thank you for that. Now let's get back on track. What is the nature of follow-through when it comes to storytelling?
Well, see, here's the thing, and this gets back at, in some ways, going from second base, you know, to third base. Because if second base is where the client says, tell me how this would help me, well, at that point, there may be a story involved, but it may actually be simply a list of benefits that you get when you hire me or purchase this product. So storytelling, if you will, I would say becomes early in the process. And then follow through isn't so much, in my opinion, a story as it is the delivering of information that is now being asked of you by the client because they were already engaged. They already see themselves. So follow through is delivering to them the actual, or describing, I should say, what will actually happen when you purchase this product or when we begin working together. So it's early in the selling process.
So my last question should be obvious to everyone. Give
you
us
like
an example
that question,
of an effective story.
Right. Well, this is actually a question, you know, you gave me these to think about, and it's a very, there's so many ways to do this. But one of the things I wanted to do as a way to answer the question is to start by saying, what are the different ways you can call yourself? And which can trigger a story in your own mind. So as an example, one of my clients is a very effective, an expert sound engineer. And he does mastering, mixing, all kinds of things for his clients. But his best clients really are singers, not musicians, but singers. And so one of the things that we came up with as a starting off point for a story was we said, rather than say he's a sound engineer, we said he's a vocal designer. And a vocal designer already triggers some sort of process in which the singer is the character, right? The challenge, you know, is how do you get that voice, and I mean by that both literally and figuratively, out there, right? And so by saying he's a vocal designer, the outcome is that the person sounds better. And it also reveals that he is primarily working with singers. I have actually thought about this from my own point of view, from my own business. You know, sometimes I'm saying you're a business coach can be useful, but I also think you can say business guide, which in some ways suggests that we're working on something together. And that presents itself as a very different kind of story. Another client of mine is a videographer. And after talking with her a long time, we thought of a very different way of describing her in terms of a story. And we said she's a business video maker and not a videographer. And again, the difference is that you're starting off with a title or a descriptor that automatically triggers the process or a story idea. But I have another example for you. It's a slightly different one. One of my other clients from a couple of years ago was a T-shirt designer. And the thing about her is she was an artist herself. That was a cup of coffee sip. And she created these T-shirts that had various characters on them, characters you would not recognize. They're not Disney characters. You know, they're nobody you would know. But what I learned from talking with her is that actually these characters each have a special power. And that power can really transform the wearer. I mean, this is, of course, not true in real life. It's not going to transform you personally. But the idea of associating yourself with a strong character, it actually empowers you because you relate to that. And so the story, in terms of how we were talking about it, is it's not the fabric, you know. It's not where it was made, really. The story is that wearing this T-shirt with these characters on it will make you feel better. And, you know, people may agree or disagree, but the point nonetheless is the story is that something somewhat transformational will happen because you you engage that product. Getting back to the videographer a moment, and this is something that I do a lot with clients, is transform, again, this idea of features and benefits. So the videographer who had spent years in academia, right? Well, that is an interesting thing, but what does it mean? Why does anyone care, right? Well, because that you've done that, right, you are able to translate complex stories into everyday things that people understand. Most people would say, well, you're an academic person as a video, but I'm a small business. Why would that interest me? Well, that's an example of how you can represent yourself in a way that doesn't say how you do something, but it says to the person, this is the benefit that you will get from this element of what I do. So, I mean, for me, the stories have always been a little bit like the different people, you know, that I've worked with and how they have, you know, somehow jumped through by telling it. I think that's how I'd like to answer the question, because a good story is personal, and so I would normally have to work with someone to really come up with one, but I think the idea of calling yourself different things is a great way to start. And the other great thing that you need to do is to find that way of expressing, you know, the benefit. And that, again, can be a story idea, as I said before. But, again, that good story is because it does all those things well. Does that answer your question, or
it most certainly does. No, you've done a great job. I want to thank you. And before I let you go, tell our listeners what the best way is to get in touch.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. Well, first I want to just say that if anybody listening would like to talk to me a little bit about their business, I'd be happy to do so in a free 45-minute and I offer it because I want to share with you the things that, you know, could happen if we work together. And simply put, to do that, you can give me a call. And my phone number is 718-768-1672. That's 718-768-1672. Or my email address is Alan, A-L-A-N, dot Siege, S-I-E-G-E, at the letter S-B-M-C, dot biz, for business. Alan.Siege at sbmc.biz. So I want to thank you, Bruce, for this opportunity. I really enjoy talking about these things. It's sort of why I like to teach, because I feel like, you know, it's a direct way of, you know, helping people, you know, move forward in their business. So I hope I was able to do that, and I thank you for inviting me.
Well, my pleasure. I'm glad you could come on. I hope you'll come back on. And I can't think of a better way to have gotten 2015 off to a great start. So I thank you.
All right, Bruce. Thank you, and have a happy new year, too.
Same to you and your family. And I hope everyone will join me next Wednesday when my guest will be real estate agent Florence Summer. We will be discussing steps to improve the value of your home. To learn about future shows, please visit our website, www.thevoiceofmanhattanbusiness.com. I'm Bruce Hurwitz. You can reach me at 646-368-5381 or on the web at either hsstaffing.com or fishhookbooks.com. Thanks again to Alan, who I am certain joins me in wishing everyone a safe and prosperous week.